This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score!
In the air to right field. Suzuki back at the track. This one is gone! Tim Anderson, first pitch hunting. And I guess maybe we willed it into the crowd with a turn of phrase. It's 3-0 White Sox.
And that muck out at Wrigley Field tonight, it was surprising to see anybody hit out of the park. And Tim Anderson going opposite field against Keegan Thompson to help the White Sox to a 3-1 win over the Cubs. Jason Benetti with that particular call on NBC Sports Chicago. Again, Sox beat the Cubs by a final 3-1. This is Score Overnight. I'm Mark Grody, 312-644-6767. I always like the thing about the Crosstown Classic is you've got all these broadcasts to choose from. You got two on television, two on the radio, whatever. I don't know, was there a national carrier for this game too? I had no idea. There probably was, so it's kind of fun to flip through both and then eventually land on one. And obviously they're both really good broadcasts, and it probably depends on your taste, but for my purposes I like to get a little feel for both of broadcasts, what they're both saying and the biases that obviously exist for both broadcasts. I think that there's a little more homerism when it comes to the Sox broadcast with Benetti and Stone. They're a little more protective than Boog Shambi and Jim DeShays, and probably does have something to do with the fact that, you know, in Boog's case, he's not from here. He comes from, obviously, a national background, so he's pretty good at being objective, and that's his tone. That's his tone. And Jim DeShays has kind of always been like that. Jim is just Jim. You know what I mean? There's really no way to describe DeShays. He's very good at what he does. But when you try to describe him, Jim is Jim. And, you know, Jim and Boog want the Cubs to win, of course. Life is easier if you are a broadcaster for a team, if the team wins. But there is not as much the homerism with those guys as there is with Benetti and Stone. It's just facts are facts. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go to Brandon in Rockford. Hello, Brandon. You're on the Score.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So I just wanted to talk about the Bears a little bit now that we've had this, we're post-draft now. I don't think, obviously, and I don't think anybody does, that the Bears really, you know, they didn't win the draft per se. But I do think that they drafted well enough for them to at least say, hey, let's pull the trigger on some weapons for Justin Fields. Because before the draft, I think, you know, it was like, hey, we need to rebuild. We're going to rebuild the back half of that defense. We're going to install this new offense, and Fields is going to learn it. Okay, that's cool. You know, and I think most fans were on board with that. But after this draft, I mean, look, the Bears defense, they can get to the quarterback. Their big problem was the secondary. And I think that they have addressed that in a perfect world if everything works out. I think that secondary is going to play much better, maybe be mid-pack, maybe a little bit better than that. So I think it's a no-brainer for me for the Chicago Bears to reach out to Jarvis Landry because he's a veteran, he's experienced, but he's also a proven leader. He was one of those guys that really went to Cleveland and helped turn that franchise, you know, from a bum franchise for decades to what they are now. And I think it would be at least worth a shot. He's not going to be your outside. He's, you know, lethal on the inside. Maybe you put Mooney if you're already going into the season with Mooney as your number one. Hey, fine, keep him on the outside. You're bringing Landry in to catch balls on the inside, but more so be that stability for Justin Fields. And I think that's the kind of draft that the Bears had where they can sit back and say, you know what, if this really works out and our defense is playing much better, why not go out and get Justin Fields a weapon? Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it, Brandon. Thanks for waiting. I appreciate that as well. I think that, in theory, your idea is great. That is the type of guy that the Bears need. They do need a veteran, that kind of presence, and somebody that wants to be here and all of that. They had that last year with Allen Robinson. For whatever reason, it didn't work out. And it's not like Jarvis Landry is ancient. He's 29 years old. So, and let's see, last year he had 52 catches, 570 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And the last time he had a 1,000-yard season was 2019, one of 3 1,000-yard seasons in his career. So, yeah, he's not going to break it open for you, like you said, very, very appropriately, that he's going to be more inside. But he's the type of guy who can be a quarterback's friend type of wide receiver. He would have that awareness when Justin Fields is in trouble and, you know, be that outlet, so to speak. So, I think that that's the exact type of guy that they have to look at right now. And I'd be surprised if Ryan Poles doesn't try to go out there and find somebody like that. So good call for sure, Brandon. 312-644-6767. And yeah, I mean, I think that with the Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker picks, that was like if you want to see the almost textbook definition of what general managers always call selecting the best players possible, that's it. That's it right there. Because I am sure that Ryan Poles and his staff, when they look at the roster, they know the offense needs a lot of work. They know that. They know Justin Fields needs friends. They know what's been going on in Chicago forever, ever, ever, and ever. They understand that. They understand when they look at mock drafts and everybody had the Bears taking an offensive lineman or a wide receiver or maybe even a 3 technique. Nobody was really mocking the Bears, and I say in their mock drafts, for cornerback and safety. Actually, some people did have cornerback. I shouldn't say that because it's obviously a position of need as well. But I do think that these were just guys, and they kind of indicated it, that they just couldn't pass these guys up, that they would have been stupid to pass up guys like that just because they got to have offense, and we just have to take an offensive lineman. We have to take a wide receiver. And, you know, as I am surprised that as the draft went on, there wasn't more wide receivers beyond Velus Jones Jr., that's for sure. But the fact that they took those two guys, while surprising, I ain't mad at them for that at all. And I think that it is very possible that Kyler Gordon is a starter, and same for Jaquan Brisker. I have a feeling that those two guys are going to be given every single chance to be starters on this defense and might end up being really good players as well. I think the most telling thing that Ryan Poles said this weekend was after the first night of the draft. And when he said that we can't fix everything in one day, but we sure can chip away at it. So when he says that, that's him saying this thing's a mess, that this roster is a disaster, at least in his opinion. That what he was given is, oof, he looked at it and looked at the film and looked at the numbers on his sheet and said, oh boy, this goes well beyond Justin Fields needing a wide receiver or the Bears needing to name a left tackle. This is defense, offense, and special teams. And they drafted a kicker, Elijah Hicks. Well, that was because Pat decided to go to Green Bay, or they decided, the Bears decided not to pay him. So, yeah, I think that that was telling, that this is the Bears are a project for him. This is not, okay, we're not ready to line him up and have him win yet. We're just trying to put this thing together. And some of it involves just stockpiling bodies. And so that's what it's been, and that's what it's going to be for a little while. I'm looking forward to the rookie mini camp, which is May 6th through the 8th. So I guess that would be this weekend. Yeah, it's this weekend. So I'll be at Hallis Hall this weekend and in a couple of days and get to see some of these guys in motion, see what these guys are all about with the Bears, and maybe get a little bit more clarity on what these guys are capable and just how good they are. 312-644-6767. I will give you this, like some of my notes on these players, like just some of the inside stuff that I can tell you about guys that scouts are saying and about these, the draft picks that the Bears have, like, you know, Kyler Gordon, the one thing about him is that he had a 4.5 40. He's considered quote unquote slow for that position, and he's had to answer those questions, and maybe that's why he wasn't, you know, in the first round, because he doesn't have that dynamic speed. But you know, that's, you'll talk to scouts, and a lot of times with cornerbacks, obviously it's that side to side and lateral quickness and makeup speed in a short amount of distance. And yeah, hey, look, it helps. Like if you're running a 4.140 or whatever the case may be, or something ridiculous, it's great to keep up with some of those receivers, but it's not everything. So that's the thing with Kyler Gordon. We talked about Jaquan Brisker earlier, and what I liked hearing from Ryan Poles and from scouts about him is two things. He's a strong safety. There's no, like, well, we're not sure if he's a free safety or if he's a strong safety or what, you know, can he? No, he's a physical, strong safety. So I think that's going to help in terms of being a complement to Eddie Jackson, or being as good as or better than Eddie Jackson. Who knows? And that he's one of these guys, too, that he's big plays in big moments. And I think that's really important too, that you can find tape on all these guys and find the plays that they make, but the plays that he made were in clutch moments, if I may. So that's Brisker. Velus Jones Jr. out of Tennessee, he is, man, he's kind of a wild card, because he's got the, like, he seems like a great dude. He's the guy with the really good character. He's the guy that's going to be 25 in May. Well, it is May now. Is he 25 now? Is Velus Jones, he's going on 26 now. He'll be 26 next May. That's what we have to change that to now. Because he spent 4 years at USC and then a couple of years at Tennessee. So it's, yeah, he's up there, man. But he can do a lot of things on the field. The comp, and I hate comps. No, I don't hate comps. What am I saying? I wouldn't have jotted down this comp if I hated comps. But I know that when you hear this name, it's going to be like, oh, come on. But Deebo Samuel is the name that he is comped to. And if everything goes right, maybe he can be like that in terms of the versatility and the special character. Offensive tackle Braxton Jones out of Southern Utah. He's the only guy that I got the feeling out of the four offensive linemen that the Bears took in the draft. Braxton Jones out of Southern Utah, fifth round pick. He's the only one that I got the feeling that could potentially compete for a starting job. Now, all these guys are, you know, they're going to say that they're going to be able to compete. But this guy can play left or right tackle, 6'5", 310. It seems like he could be that guy. Like, out of all of them, it's possible. Not guaranteeing anything or saying, oh, you know, circle this guy. But of all of them, he was the information that I received, that we received, was seemed to be a little bit less fuzzy or ambiguous as to what he actually is at the NFL level. And I get the feeling that Braxton Jones could have a chance to be a starter on the Bears offensive line. We shall see how that plays out. Got a long way to go.
That's interesting you say that though, Mark, because that's what I've heard a lot about that guy, is he's got like the frame of that offensive tackle. You look for those long arms. He's just not quite the athlete that you would see at some of those tackles. So they're hoping that maybe they can bring him up and just kind of get his fundamentals sound. But I mean, he looks like, I mean, I saw some of his tape from the Senior Bowl, and that seems like where the Bears got a lot of their decided on a lot of these day three guys on from the Senior Bowl. He was pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one pro personnel director from an AFC team said, I see a lot to work with, so I don't really care about the rough edges.
Sure.
With Braxton Jones. So,
and you've got a guy like Poles who seems to not necessarily, he hasn't necessarily found like diamonds in the rough, but he's found some impressive guys that have stepped up in the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. I mean, that line was, I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl, it was garbage, dealing with injuries, of course, but
yeah,
it was clear their depth was an issue. Came back next year, it was a lot better, and Poles gets some credit for that, it sounds like. So, hopefully, maybe he sees something with Jones.
Yeah, yeah. And then the next guy here is edge rusher Dominique Robinson, and raw is the word. Ryan Pohl said he's raw. Dominique Robinson said he's raw. He's a fifth-round pick out of Miami, Ohio. He was a wide receiver in high school. He was a wide receiver at Miami of Ohio.
Can you imagine that dude catching balls? Isn't he like 250 pounds?
Well, I don't know what his weight was as a wide receiver.
Sure.
Assuming he had to have put on some weight. But I think that, yeah, that's really interesting to think about. Like, he must have been like a Megatron size.
Right, exactly. Yeah, car door, arm, wingspan type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Garage door. Would have been interesting to see Nagy try and draw some offensive plays up for him.
Yeah, that would have been, actually.
Right.
Oh, my God.
What are the feats? As soon as they draft, I was like, man, this is the one time I wish we had Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Who knows? We'll see what the Flus has got up his sleeve.
Yeah.
The Matt Eberflus. Maybe the Getsy. The Getsy's got something for Dominique Robinson. I don't know.
I've been laughing last week, or maybe it's 2 weeks or whatever you're on. You called Eberflus Flusy, and that is just like the funniest thing. Like, anytime he was talking, I was like, oh, that's a great point, Flusy. I like it.
I don't know why. It's like the floozy, the palsy.
Nah, I like it. It's like the Batman, but it's like, you know, the Bears offensive coordinator.
Right. Absolutely. But he's interesting, man. He's raw. So that's, and the guy that Dominique Robinson said that he was told, one of the guys, I don't want to make it look like it's the only one, but the guy that Dominique Robinson was told to emulate and to watch tape of, Leonard Floyd, which is interesting just because of his unsuccessful stay with the Bears. And he's gone on to bigger and better with the Rams. And Floyd was a guy who, when he came to the Bears, was kind of a tweener size-wise and raw to some degree and a project to some degree because he had all this weight that he needed to put on. But size-wise, there's a similarity in body type-wise between Dominique Robinson and Leonard Floyd. So that's one of the guys that they have told him to keep an eye on, which I thought was really interesting. Zachary Thomas out of San Diego State. Here's what I can tell you about him. Comes in as a tackle. He will be a guard at the NFL level. That's what we were told, that he is, like a lot of these guys are like, we're not really sure, left tackle, right tackle, guard. He'll be a guard. Running back, Treston Ebner out of Baylor. He's a guy who, you know, boasts and has the ability to do it all, to be in on kick returns, to be a running back, to be a receiver. So think Tariq Cohen at its absolute best. And Ebner said, he told us, the assembled media out at Hallis Hall, that what he likes to do best is play receiver. So it's a really strong running backs room right now for the Bears, obviously, with David Montgomery and with Khalil Herbert as well. So he's got a long way to go to make the team and to make an impact on it. But best case scenario, he is, as you know, he was asked about, you know, that the proverbial Swiss Army knife. Doug Kramer, the Illinois center that they drafted in the sixth round. Doug Kramer, whose name sounds like a human resources director. Old Doug Kramer. You have to go see Doug Kramer. Doug Kramer is like the perfect archetype size for this Bears offense because he's not a big dude. And Ryan Poles talked about wanting the smaller, quicker, twitchier offensive lineman. And again, I have no idea if Doug Kramer makes the team or what impact he could have on it, but he fits the mold as far as the size is concerned. Tackle Tyree Carter out of Southern, another guy who was a tackle at the college level, but it looks like he is more of a guard at the NFL level. Safety Elijah Hicks out of Cal. The interesting scoop on him is he was a cornerback, and then they converted him to safety, where he has had a lot of success. You know, Cal guy, smart dude, ball hawk, physical, all that kind of stuff. He also thinks that he should have been drafted much higher. So that's the quick synopsis on Elijah Hicks. And then lastly, the punter, Trenton Gill, out of North Carolina State, seventh round pick, 255 overall. He seemed pretty thrilled that he was drafted. I asked him, you know, after he was kind of gave them happy to be here, wow, this is great. I can't believe this. I'm going to the Bears and all that stuff. I asked him, so you sound like you were pretty surprised that you were drafted at all. He said, no, not really. He's like, yeah, you know, we kind of knew that, you know, something was going to happen. So I like it. He's got a little, moxie, a little confidence in him. Does Trenton Gill. And, you know, Pat O'Donnell is not walking through that door. So he will. Trenton Gill will definitely get a chance to be the punter for the Chicago Bears. We don't have anybody on the lines right now. So if you are interested in coming on Score Overnight, now would be a good time. Or you could just listen. But I'm just telling you that there are open lines. 312-644-6767 is the number. 312-644-6767. We'll read some of your text messages. We'll get back to some of the Cubs and White Sox. The White Sox did beat the Cubs tonight 3-1. Bears are on the table all night long, and Bulls talk as well. 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You're listening to the show Les Grobstein Perfected. Score Overnights.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that went into that. There's a lot of off-season work, a lot of vision training, a lot of time. You know, it's always been something I've prided myself on is, you know, having good at-bats and good control of the strike zone. I think when you get in a situation where you're trying to prove something or you feel like you need to get some hits from the right side to be in the lineup the next day, something like that, where you get away from your plan and, you know, playing every day cleans some of that up too. So being able to have the confidence that go out there and have my at-bat, not afraid to get to two strikes, not afraid to get deep in counts and work some pitchers and, you know, all that stuff put together has kind of helped.
Ian Happ on the Score with Dan Bernstein. I'm Mark Grody. It's Score Overnight. Happ last night was 1-for-3 with a run, a walk, a strikeout, and the White Sox beat the Cubs by a final score of 3-1. We're going to get some of your text messages here in just a second if you feel like calling. 312-644-6767. Yeah, Tim Anderson had a home run against Keegan Thompson. Jake Berger and Reese McGuire with RBIs for the White Sox. The Berger with just a full swing bunt towards the third baseline. Nothing that Patrick Wisdom could do about it. A run scores there. And then Reese McGuire laid down a bunt towards the right side of the diamond, perfectly put, and allowed another run to score for the White Sox, and they were up and running 2-0 early in this game. The Cubs' only run tonight in the sixth inning, Nico Horner with an RBI double. Michael Kopech tonight started for the White Sox. He goes 4 innings, did not allow a run, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, walked a couple of men, and they allowed him to go 83 pitches tonight Reynaldo Lopez, Jose Ruiz, Aaron Bummer, Matt Foster, Liam Hendricks were all very good in relief. As a matter of fact, Ruiz was the only one of those White Sox pitchers, to at least relievers, to allow a hit, much less a run. So good work overall by the Sox pitching. Great night to pitch. Interesting for the Cubs tonight, they had Scott Efros starting for Drew Smyly, who was placed on the bereavement list, and I think it happened today. So it was more or less a scratch, and Efros was allowed to go an inning and a third, two runs on two hits. I just don't think he was stretched out. So I think that was no matter what he gave up, he was going to come out of that game early, and he did. Keegan Thompson did allow a run. Michael Rucka, Michael Givens, and Chris Martin, all good for the Cubs tonight as far as their bullpen work was concerned. So that's the wrap-up on Cubs and White Sox. White Sox now 10-13, Cubs 9-14. These two teams will rematch tonight, 6:40 right here on the Score, with Kyle Hendricks against Lucas Giolito. That ought to be a dandy, ladies and gentlemen. Taking a look at some of your text questions here and comments. I like what you said, Grody. Sounds like that song Train kept a rolling all night long, but the Bears talk is all night long. I don't know if I know the song necessarily. I know the band. I don't know the song, but I know what you're saying because we're keeping the Bears. The Bears talk can always happen 24/7. That's just the way it works, man. 312-644-6767. Hey, Mark, this one's from the 815. What's your take on Keuchel? Would you DFA him when Cueto is ready? Rob from Joliet. No, not yet. Not yet. I got to see Cueto pitch, you know, a couple of times, see what he's got, because we don't know what he's got. So, and let's also wait till Lance Lynn gets back. And I understand that Keuchel has kind of picking up where he left off last year with his season so far. You know, coming off the Angels game was better than what he had done in the Kansas City game. Or actually, it was better than what he did, I should say, in the Cleveland game, which was a couple of starts ago now, where he gave up the 10 runs and just was blasted. But here's the thing. In the last two starts for Dallas Keuchel, the Angels game, which the White Sox ended up losing 6-5, that game where they came back late and it was like, oh my God, are the Sox going to win this game? I was doing laundry and I was listening to that game on the earbuds on the radio, and I'm like, Jesus, this is like, wow, I need to get in front of a TV here. And the Sox obviously came up short by one run. But in that game for Keuchel, where he goes five innings, allowed four runs, walked five, struck out one. In the Kansas City game, in the game before that, four innings, allows two runs, walked five. He's 10 walks in his last two games. And he's been charged with 6 earned runs in his last two games. It's not terrible. But the walks, man, I mean, that's a sign of a pitcher who is afraid to throw strikes. Like, and, you know, because he is, you know, like we talked about earlier with Kyle Hendricks, he depends on that pinpoint accuracy. If that starts to go, you see a guy who gives up a lot of walks. And then, you know, the nightmare against Cleveland. So while I am not in support of Dallas Keuchel at this moment, I don't know that you can afford to DFA him or figure out a way to get rid of him until Lynn is back, until you know what Cueto can give you. You know, outside possibility that somewhere along the line Reynaldo Lopez gets a start, because, you know, he's looked good coming out of the pen, and we know that he has the ability to start. And when he starts, we know he had like one good year and one and really was kind of bad since, but, you know, he's a guy who can do what Dylan Cease did. You know, he is capable of striking out just about as many guys as anybody on this Sox roster when given multiple innings. It's just controlling it and keeping him from walking five guys. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm just as interested as anybody to see what Johnny Cueto's got, because we know when he was good, he was really good. But it's been a while since he's been dominant. So let's just hold it on Dallas Keuchel. From the 847. Hey, Mark. Being that the Bears have a new coaching staff, How early can they go to training camp compared to other teams that don't have a new staff? I don't think they can go early to training camp. I think that what the Bears were allowed to do, the Bears and any team with a new coach, they were allowed to have the earlier workouts, the opening their doors, so to speak, earlier, one extra training session, or not OTA, but just they're allowed to open their doors sooner. But as far as camp is concerned, I don't think that there's any benefits whatsoever for the Bears for that. So I don't know the dates yet, but I'm keeping my eyes open because that affects my life too. We'll get to some more of your text messages in a bit. Let's swing back to the old phone line though and bring in Johnny A in DeKalb. Hello, Johnny, you're on the Score.
Hi, how are you, Mark? My question is that with Moncada coming back, you can't. What are you going to do with our new wonder third baseman now, Berger? I mean, my God, he's our wonder Berger.
He's the wonder Berger for sure. Go ahead, Johnny.
I can't really see him out of the lineup, and I don't know. He's doing a great job on third. I mean, what are they going to do? Can he play another position? I can't see him taken out of the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he could probably play some outfield, I suppose. But, you know, I mean, Johnny, I think you definitely – Moncada has to go right back in there. You know that. I know that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, like – but I do understand what you're saying. Like – Berger, he's got power. He probably has been robbed of a couple of home runs this year because of the wind balls that have been getting batted down at the warning track. So, you know, and he seems to be a really likable player too. So, you know, even if he goes down for a while, I mean, he's a guy that's always gonna, you know, he's part of this team now, and they will find places for him. Hopefully he becomes like a bit of a luxury for the White Sox.
Well, I think, well, even like Vaughn, they're expecting him back by this weekend for sure, I think, aren't they?
I do believe so, yeah. And hopefully soon we'll be talking about Lance Lynn. I know Eloy Jimenez is, you know, ways off, but
yeah,
you know, little by little, just they're coming back one by one. Hopefully they keep from – speaking of Berger, did you see him slam into the wall in foul territory tonight, Johnny?
You mean into the concrete? Yes.
I think there's padding on that, though. I don't know. You might be right, but it looked awful.
It's like about a 3-foot concrete wall.
Oh, Jesus.
That he banged into. But he was laughing it off, so, I mean, he's going to hurt tonight. But still, it's the guy was a football player.
Yeah, he looks like he's got the body type that looks like he could take that. However, we also know that Jake Berger has had some pretty devastating injuries in his career. So at times he's not held together well. But hopefully, Johnny, that he is beyond all those year-long injuries that he was dealing with.
Well, I hope him and it just seems like the only ones that are put together in one piece is one in Sheets.
Let's keep it that way. Let's keep it that way. Johnny, thanks for the call, my friend. Appreciate it. Yeah, man, Berger, third inning. There's a foul ball hit. I don't remember who hit it for the Cubs, but he's racing, and he didn't negotiate the side wall very well. He slams into it like in full run and then falls backwards into the front row. Like, it looked ridiculous, to be honest. He did. It was not a good look for Jake Berger. It looked like an Aloy move, to be honest with you. It was not pretty. He did not do a good job judging or knowing where he was on the field. And luckily, he was okay. He came out, shook it off. As Johnny said, eventually he was smiling because I think somebody was giving him crap on the diamond. But that was not a good moment for Jake Berger. Glad he's okay. Hope he really is okay. And that it's not, where you're not going to hear something tomorrow where Jake Berger had, well, I can handle a contusion. I'm predicting a contusion. There will be a contusion. You will hear that sometime today on the Score. Somebody will say, breaking news, Jake Berger has a contusion of some sort, and he'll be day-to-day, and he'll be fine. That's my prediction. He also made an error tonight, but he did have an RBI, you know, full swing bunt towards third base. So he is the Wonder Berger. Yes, he is. But when Moncada comes back, Moncada goes right back to third. 312-644-6767. John, we'll get to you after the break. And anybody else who wants to jump in here on the score, we're going to hear from both managers in a little bit, too. We'll hear what Tony La Russa had to say about the 3-1 win. We'll hear what David Ross had to say about the 3-1 loss. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
That's just a part of me. Being young and playing running back in Barkley, it was always a mentality, to have a dog mentality. I'm definitely going to get out of clip with physicality, you know, a high school clip of my dad, you know, I'm going to save that. But also, like, granddad being in the Marines, a retired vet, with his mindset, his killer mindset, and how to, you know, be tough and be a man. Like, it's just one thing I've never been afraid of is contact. And it shows on film, you know, and film is a silent movie about you. Never, ever been afraid of contact, always ran through the smoke. And so that's a part of my DNA. That's a part of who I am. That's a part of my family tree and where I come from, physicality and toughness.
That is Bears third round draft pick, wide receiver Velus Jones Jr. out of Tennessee. I'm Mark Rohde. This is Score Overnight. Yeah, Velus can absolutely fly speed-wise. And he also does not go down easily on contact. He had Velus Jones Jr. 268 receiving yards after contact in 2021. That was third in the SEC. We're talking about a guy with 4.31 speed. You know, I mean, usually you think of those kind of guys, they tend to go down easy. So that's not the case with Velus Jones Jr. And that was a question that I asked him. I said, well, where does that come from? And that's what he was explaining right there. 312-644-6767. A lot of Bears talk tonight on Score Overnight. Also talking about the Cubs and White Sox game. Round one, game one, White Sox beat the Cubs by a final score of 3-1. John in Dallas is now on the Score. Hello, John.
Hey, I'm enjoying the show. Thanks for being with us. Here's the general manager and the coach. Here's our regime. This is a much better regime than we've had in the last 8 years. And here's why. I see what he mean about being faster. They want to play downhill and not uphill, put defenses on defense and not pressing us up at the line to where you can't, when you try to hit a receiver, that the defensive back and the cornerbacks are right up on them. And Velus Jones, here's who he reminds me of. He reminds me of Jerry Rice on his cuts, even after he catch the ball. This is the way Jerry Rice was. He got a little, I know I might be very optimistic, but I wasn't wrong about Moody 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
And this guy reminds, this receiving core going to remind you of Willie Gault and Dennis McKinnon, but better. Mm. And that's what I mean. This guy, and I like all the picks. I grade the general manager with an A. We're going to have six of the guys who we pick going to be impact players and maybe four of them starters from what we pick. This is how good the general manager did. I know a lot of people can't see it, but I'm telling you, I'm not wrong most of the time about when I kind of analyze with them. But I think the Bears are going to go 10-7.
Wow.
They're going to shock a lot of people.
Oh, John, I like the way you talk, man. I really do.
Justin Fields is going to be a whole lot better. If they can get one more good receiver, just one more to put with the core they got, they're going to really be good if they all can stay healthy. But this receiver he picked in the third round, just step back. Go look at some of the film and look at the cuts this guy make after he catches. And look how fast he pull away from the defensive backs and the safeties once he catches the ball in his route. Real good.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing more of him.
All right. I'll hang up here with y'all. Rest, got to say the rest of the night, but
yeah.
We're going to be 10-7. We're going to make the playoffs.
All right, John. I am not going to sit here and try to stomp on your optimism. John, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. John in Dallas. He's definitely the first person who said the Bears are going to be 10-7 this year. You know, Justin Fields, it's interesting because it's very possible that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus because they have talked about it, that they have studied what quarterback the jumps that quarterbacks tend to make between their first and second seasons. Now, we said the same stuff about Mitch Trubisky, too. So I do want to make that clear that there was a lot of look out for, I think somebody, you know, there was odds on Mitchell Trubisky to be MVP in his second year with the Chicago Bears. So some of this, you know, the angst over wide receivers, and I am among them, you know, wondering what are they going to do as far as weapons for Justin Fields. Some of this could be these guys just giving Justin Fields more credit than we are. To say, look, Justin, maybe they do think Justin Fields is special and that Justin Fields can bring Darnell Mooney to another level, that he can bring Byron Pringle to another level, that he can bring Equanimeous St. Brown to a level, that Velus Jones Jr. can sprout at the NFL level because they have Justin Fields. You know, and I'm not saying that he's all of a sudden going to be Patrick Mahomes and he's going to be elite, but maybe we haven't taken a close enough look at that to say that he can totally and completely be that type of quarterback. The guy that we all thought he was going to be, but last year was just so ridiculous in so many different ways, and he wasn't that. And some of it was on Justin Fields. I am not going to sit here and say every time I open the mic that Justin Fields was ruined by the previous staff. I don't think they helped him. But Justin Fields had some bad games, made some bad throws, made some bad reads, made some bad runs, didn't have great presence of mind at times. So some of it is on Justin Fields. It is on him to get better. The earnestness to do so seems to be real in the case of Justin Fields, so we shall see. As far as what John was talking about playing faster, that is true. Like, just from going to the voluntary minicamp, like, they were the seriousness with which they practiced and moved and actually playing fast, that was real. And we know that that's all part of the new philosophy of Matt Eberflus.
Get your track shoes on because we're running.
And they did, man. Like, it was for real. Like, you saw that is what jumped out. It certainly wasn't the 7-on-7 passing of Justin Fields to his wide receivers that jumped out, but it was the speed at which everything was being done during the practice which jumped out. And again, the rookie mini camp is this weekend, so we'll get to see more of that. From the 773, I agree with the caller, John. Plus, we also acknowledge the less factor. What's the less factor? Would Les have picked the Bears to be 10-7? I don't know if he would have.
He was a realist more than anything.
For the most part, Les was a realist. Yeah, when the Bears were bad, yeah, Les was not somebody who just picked the Bears blindly. You know, he wanted to, but he didn't.
Right, exactly. I'm going to miss this upcoming year when we used to, obviously, we put together those articles. The staff would put their picks in at the end of the day of the week for the Bears on Sunday. And my favorite was when Les would reply all to the email. So we would all know whose Les's picks were before the article came out. I'm going to miss those.
Do you think he did that on purpose or he just didn't know any better?
Oh, no, he did not know any better. No, he just didn't even realize he was like he, and if like anyone replied to the email, like he wouldn't have an idea. He wouldn't even.
The reply all just seems like the right thing to do in Les's mind. So he wasn't trying to tell everybody that my pick needs to be seen by everybody.
I always appreciate it. I was like, oh, yeah, it's 6:30 up. Here's Les's email. And, okay, cool. He's not picking the Bears. All right, interesting.
You got the Bears at 10-7 too, Sean?
I'm thinking 9-8. No.
For real?
No. I think this team might win 6 games. I think that's, and you know, and I think we've talked about it a little bit too. It's more about like, what does Justin Fields look like after those games, right? Like, it doesn't really matter about the wins and losses.
Yeah, and it's to a large degree, that's what it was last year too. And unfortunately, right, there weren't enough games where Justin Fields looked good. So
right, I mean, it's basically, it's not, people keep calling it a do-over. It's not a do-over. You know, this is year two for Justin. We need to see progress. But I think also too, we have to understand, like, it's a new offense. They're simplifying things. That's good. But yeah, I don't know. If we come away this year still with questions about Justin, I think that's an issue.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there has to be like real progress this year where either you just know he's good this year or you're positive he's going to be good going into year three, despite whatever the team might do. But there's just, it's impossible right now to make that prediction until we see. What I like about it this year is that every single time I go to a Bears practice this year, starting with the camp that they already had, the voluntary mini camp, it will be Justin Fields, the quarterback. There is nobody standing in his way. We really just rushed right past the headline that Nick Foles was cut earlier this week.
Yeah,
that he is
right.
Gone. So he's not in the way. Andy Dalton is not in the way. I don't think Trevor Siemian is going to cause much blockage for Justin Fields. So every single time I go to a Bears practice this year, it will be Justin Fields as the number one quarterback throwing to the number one wide receivers, and we won't have to deal with all that crap this year.
What a ridiculous thing. Like that you're even like saying that the Bears traded up for a rookie quarterback, and it was like a question mark pretty much the whole season whether or not this guy would like play the next week, regardless of how he played. Just nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, and even the fact that he wasn't even getting any or barely any first team reps in camp.
Right.
And they were really determined to have Andy Dalton be the quarterback for a lot of that season.
Well, isn't it like the goofiest thing that like Matt Nagy is like going around before the draft saying like, oh, I think Justin Fields is the real deal. It's like, yeah, okay, dude, you said that last year and then you like didn't play him.
Right. Like, and Matt Nagy's indication was that he did not plan to play Justin Fields last year. Maybe when it got into silly time at the end of, through week 13 or something like that, he would have put him in. But I think Matt Nagy thought he was going to play Andy Dalton most of this year and that it would be the Patrick Mahomes plan, that maybe Mahomes gets in and maybe Fields gets in a meaningless game and then he starts the entire following season. Instead, they got caught somewhere between. And to the point where even Matt Nagy had to go up to George McCaskey and say, what do I do? And George McCaskey was like, what are you asking me for?
My God.
You're the head coach.
Just like peak Bears. It's like, well, I'm not making this decision.
Yeah. Well, and I actually had respect for George.
He hired him to make that decision. I mean,
nobody wants the owner deciding who the starting quarterback is.
Right. Moreover, the owner be named George McCaskey. Like he himself is like, no, I'm not qualified for this.
Yeah, exactly. He's not like a talent evaluator. He wants to be the owner, do what he has to do to be the owner, and then get the hell out of the way.
Right,
so
that
was kind of weird that Matt Nagy did that last year. So
yeah. I mean, hopefully he's able to sell his home with like his Bears paraphernalia taped to the wall with his game sheets and games he lost. I mean,
are you kidding, man? With all the voracious Bears fans that are out there, somebody will buy that. Somebody will pay double for that house. Are you kidding me, man?
You're right. He probably did up the upper property value. You're right.
I think that Matt Nagy did that. I think that's awesome, man.
if he was good, yeah, it would have been cool. But like you look at it, and I mean, how awkward had to be when, I mean, I guess it wasn't awkward. I'm just thinking like if I myself had put up like, I don't know, like somehow like I guess pictures of audio clips that I've done at the score like on my walls and then I like got fired from the score. It would be pretty awkward when I was like leaving to go to my other job. And you're like, well, what is this room? It's like, well.
I know, but I just think it's awesome that he had that much pride in the Bears, man.
Right.
Like
it was
kinda
cool. He did definitely like he was very much in on like the tradition of the Chicago Bears.
Yes,
and that was cool.
He was here to stay, you know? I mean, I get it. It's an easy, fun thing to make fun of with Matt Nagy that his whole house looks like an 11-year-old's birthday party.
Seriously, man.
It's like, oh, man, like, Bears.
I could have sworn like he probably slept in like the equivalent of like a race car, but it was like a Bears helmet. Like, that wouldn't surprise me. So, like, if I was 14, I would think this house is amazing, too.
Oh,
but, like, oh my
absolutely.
Gosh.
Trust me, there's some 40-year-olds, though, that would probably love
I say
that. Oh, my God, look at his house.
Oh, my God. I'd play a pickup game in his basketball court with the George Staley heirs.
God. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. So, who knew what, if somebody, you know, somebody from one of the TV stations here in town needed to get the scoop on that house, but before they did, because that might have saved Matt Nagy's job.
Seriously,
man.
Or at least got him
fired the guy with the Bears house.
Probably could have brought back Cribs, you know. I don't know, MTV's Cribs, you know.
Sure, yeah, Sports Cribs. Oh my God,
Cribs.
the national media would have ascended on his Northbrook house or wherever he lived.
Yeah, I think it was Northbrook. That's funny.
It'd have been like, oh my God, you got to see this Bear. This guy is he's a Bears historian. So I don't know. Maybe Matt Nagy will pull the Dave Wanstead, and someday Matt Nagy will come back and be a popular broadcaster in this town. Because, you know, a lot of people don't remember Dave Wanstead, the head coach of the Bears. Dave Wanstead took probably more crap than Matt Nagy did, and the success rate was about the same. So as popular and fun and loving as Dave Wanstead is, his Q rating as a head coach with the Chicago Bears, not very good.
Mango?
But he was friendly, and people liked him, and he's very good on the radio and on television. And, hey, Matt Nagy was wholly likable as well and probably be good on radio and television, and maybe someday he'll be working in the Score studios with all of us. Who knows? 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. It is Score Overnight, the show that Les perfected on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.